Christopher Nolan.
Promise me you will come back.
What if I can't? On July 17th.
Get your weapons ready!
The epic arrives.
No one could stand between me and Holmes.
Matt Damon, Tom Holland, Anne Hathaway, Robert Pattinson, Lupita Nyong'o, with Zendaya and Charlize Theron.
Let's go!
The Odyssey, in cinemas July 17th. Book tickets now.
The internet is coaching our kids. When boys hear that on repeat, it shapes how they see themselves. We can't leave it to those voices. We have to be louder, together.
With EE.
We need to coach them, guide them, back them.
Building our boys up every chance we get.
Be yourself.
Back your mates.
Confidence comes from within.
Yeah! As proud partner of the England teams, EE has support and guidance to help build all our boys up, on and off the pitch. Search EE Yes Boys.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Shouldn't be alive here on the Glass Cannon Network, your destination for friends playing RPGs, all different kinds of role-playing games. And today, of course, we return to our game of Twilight 2000 Player's Manual, which I'm so excited about. Got my hardcover books here and my my digital ones as well. I've got information everywhere, and I'm excited to dive back in. I am the referee of this particular game. My name's Joe O'Brien. I'm here with Ross Bryan, Skidmar, Jared Logan, and Mary Lou. Welcome back, guys. Episode 5. I just saw, much to my dismay, that someone, I'm assuming Jared Logan, figured out how to write messages to each other in Foundry chat.
Teach me.
All of a sudden, the party token on the Poland map spoke, and it said, "Let's send messages." And then it said, "Fart poop." So I feel like,
Oh, you have to teach me. Teach me, please.
Oh, yeah. Can we send cool memes, too?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, no. This is going to devolve.
It works. God. It works.
Whoa,
it's so easy.
Wait, I'm sending my catchphrase. Sucky whiz whiz, sucky sucky bang bang.
Oh man, classic Jared Logan. Oh yeah. Man.
Wait, how can I make it be from me instead of the party on foot?
It's coming in force. We have found a whole bunch of different Foundry little odds and ends that are going to increase the quality of this game. This one is going to decrease the quality of the game, but increase our fun, which is what is most important. It's me, Mary Lou. You found
me.
It.
Well, no, it still says it's from Party on Foot.
It's from Party on Foot.
It's not
guys,
fair.
This is a serious game.
You're right. Exactly. I'm sorry.
And I think everybody needs to sober up a little bit and read the message I'm about to write about my ding-a-ling.
This is a serious game. We're playing Twilight 2000. We're on the fifth episode of a new story that we've started. If you are just tuning in now for some reason, go back and listen to episode 1 or session 0 where we made these characters. But we're going to continue into this story in just a moment. Man, last week, a very interesting role-playing situation that ended up with the party coming together and setting out on the road. Out on the road, heading out for an interesting mission that we're going to go over again in a second. But right as they kind of got out there, got out to the open road in Eastern Poland, in a war-torn alternate history Eastern Poland, they ran into a random encounter card. And that is where we're going to start our episode today. So stay with us. We'll be back in a second to kick off episode 5. Hang in there.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
We have an update from the party message board. This one seems to be from Jared, and it simply says, "My dingling hurts."
Yeah.
My dingling hurts.
Oh, mister, my dingling hurts.
I really like how you said, "I need everybody to pay attention to this message about my dingling."
Yeah.
And then you wrote
my
one.
My dingling hurts. Yeah.
It hurts so bad.
That's right. You drew everybody's attention to it. Hey, I'm going to post something. I'm going to post something. And then we wait.
Jared,
and it
do you
says,
need help?
My
Is that
dingling
a call for
hurts.
Help?
With a slammer. With an exclamation
he
mark.
He always delivers. He promises and then he delivers. That's
it
right.
It just shows you how these digital tools, you know, they're yeah, just next boundary. Level.
They yeah. can really help.
They enrich the experience for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day who had never heard the term slammer for an exclamation mark.
Is that? I'm one of those people. I don't
yeah, know.
I've
never heard no one says that. I don't
no
know.
No one says
about.
That. Put a slammer on it? No? I
no.
thought this was like
Absolutely
a normal thing.
Absolutely not.
No, Philadelphia. No one says
totally
that.
Totally weird.
I got to look this up.
I'm not aware of that, John.
Yeah. Was this your cool English teacher with like a leather jacket?
Sitting on the chair backwards.
Sitting on the chair uh-huh. backwards, like, hey guys, look, if you want to do some emphasis, throw a slammer on
Put
that.
Put a slammer
thing.
On that. Huh. Put a slammer on that.
All right. I'm looking for a slammer as a colloquial term for the exclamation point often used by printers, editors, and typists.
Huh. Okay. Typists.
I don't see that it's regional.
Often used
but I'll keep
by
looking.
The illiterate.
Oh, it's got some kind of slammer on the end of this string of letters.
Yeah. You put a slammer on it. Go birds.
Go birds.
Now, I thought I would grow more sympathetic and like open-minded when you guys didn't know what a pickle roll-up was and you called me crazy and I was vindicated. But no, slammer is weird and not normal. That's absolutely bizarre and you made it up.
I mean, yeah. Slammer, man. There are so
but
many different
a
things that refers to.
Squiggle what
the number
is totally
one thing on the list. Exclamation mark. All right.
A squiggle
anyway.
What?
A squiggle Look, what?
We've
squiggle.
Got a lot. We've got a lot to get into today. Let's stay on focus here, people. In okay. fact, I would love for a. I would love to just look into what you think is going on here, what you are in the middle of and what you are doing, and I'll kick it to Mary Lou. Let's open with Mary Lou. It's kind of explaining the current situation and what your characters are doing in our story right now.
Current situation, we just made friends through a battle, and now we are driving north on the road from Tomaso Lubowski to Zamość because we've heard that there are some Russians being bad there, being mean. And as far as I think, we're going to liberate those Polish people that are being forced to work by these Russians. We've heard there's a work camp.
Actually, Mary Lou, as I push my glasses up.
Jared, would you like to correct Mary Lou?
Yes.
Yeah. They're in Bilgoraj.
Thank you. Yes. The prisoners taken by the Soviets are in Bilgoraj, and Zamość has supplies. Bilgoraj. Thank you. Bilgoraj.
Bilgoraj.
No L sound.
Okay, I'm just going to say it, Bill Garage.
yeah, okay, let's talk about Polish pronunciations for a second because didn't realize, first of all, I knew we were going to pronounce things wrong. I mean, like, of course, we're going to pronounce things wrong. None of us are Polish or speak Polish. So this was inevitable. However, what I didn't realize was that we were going to pronounce things so spectacularly wrong that people that are Polish and understand the language might not even know what city we're talking about. Like, it's not just a like, oh, man, that's you're a little off there. It's the letters are so different from English.
The letters are very, very different.
It's really, really surprising. So I found a great website that I have been able to put proper names in, and it's giving me drop down lists of proper names and then having like AI pronunciations of them. Or maybe they're recorded. I don't know. But either way, it is Bilgoraj. That is correct. Mm-hmm. It is Zamość. There is a kind of a CH sound at the end of that. Tomaszo Lubelski. So we're working on it. You know, we're going to get there. And fun fact.
Tomaszo Lubelski.
I talked to Mary Lou about this. I also, because it was all these proper names were working and the drop downs were working. So I just put in for shits and gigs, Zofia. Mm-hmm. And it came up. It was a capital Z. Zofia came up as like a clickable thing. And it's pronounced and it's Zofia.
Surprise!
Zofia. Fun
it
fact.
It is Zofia. And I've been trying to be really good because I'm an insufferable know-it-all and want to get it right. And so like I've been trying to do my research and even like when we were creating characters and Jared made his character Hannah Aborski and I was like, well actually, if it's a female person, they would be Aborska. And so thought
I Mary Lou, I just want to say I really learned that from the Discord. And I've been heavily drawing
Don't
on the knowledge of the
people.
Discord. Keep so sending treasonous. Me pronunciations. It's really helpful. Send us all pronunciations. In fact, I'd prefer to get them as direct messages.
Sorry, go ahead.
If you love Jared, you'll know exactly what he means by that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was like, I got this big swinging dick. I got it. I got this pronunciation bullshit. And then realized I'm pronouncing my own goddamn name wrong. It's Zofia.
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 Which Zofia. Is beautiful. And I really like it.
It is beautiful.
I'm excited for the change. Here's another change we got coming. Let's look at the map here of Poland. On our Foundry VTT that we're using with its Twilight 2000 integrations. And we had a party token. Well, now you'll see it's been renamed since the last ep, Party on Foot. And that's because I've had Josh, our amazing artist, just craft really quick for us a Party in Vehicle token.
Look at that.
Nice. So if you see that on the map now we can see Zofia's pickup truck, which is what we'll refer to whenever you're in the vehicle. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You may be in the vehicle sometimes on foot, sometimes back in the vehicle. So it'll be interesting to swap back and forth. But that's all after I interrupted Jared of his correction of Mary Lou. Sorry.
Yes, I love correcting women. And
yeah, it is good.
Always fun to correct a woman. And I just want to say that Mary Lou immediately remembered Zamość is where we know supplies were supposed to come from. And by the way, I'm American. Bilgoraj is where we think prisoners are being kept by the Soviets.
Yes.
Right. There was rumors from some prisoners that you saw in Tomaszów that there were prisoners were taken north to some sort of potentially labor camp in Bilgoraj. But the one of the civilians said they heard the Soviets talking aggressively, like, you know, in fearful, sort of like panicky tones to each other about not getting supplies. And they kept hearing the name Zamość as if something was happening there. So you guys are on the road out of Tomaszów Lubelski heading towards Zamość, which is on the way to Bilgoraj, if you're taking the roads. And I said, okay, we moved into a new hex. By the mechanics of the game, we shuffle our encounter card deck. Mm-hmm. And it's literally a 52-card deck, numbered and suited just as a regular playing card deck with random encounters. If you pull an encounter that does not have a road symbol, spoiler, I think there's very few. The more you take roads, the more likely you are to have random encounters.
That makes sense.
You have a random encounter. And I did select that. That's how we ended the last step. And so we'll open there right now.
It is technically May 3rd, right?
Yes. I already lost track of the date. So if you wouldn't mind writing down the date for me, I'd appreciate it. But
yesterday was May 2nd.
Yesterday was May 2nd. Today is May 3rd. You guys have spent one night sort of together, camped out in Tomaszów Lubelski, and you partied up and decided to continue forward together. Ultimately, heading toward this prisoner camp, and really, let's not forget Major Dade's mission. He is searching for someone named Carpenter. We know that a mission that he's been sent on behind enemy lines.
Major Lime's mission.
Major Lime. Did I say Dade? I keep mixing the two of them up. Major Lime's mission. Let's pick it up there. It is daytime, midday, late morning. And you are cruising along the road. And everything seems calm. The countryside is bathed in that sort of strange orangey light. The sky is still a little broken from the results of nuclear explosions, which have happened, you now know, near in this area. If it wasn't last episode, it was the one before you came across a civilian that was suffering from radiation poisoning, and PFC Dade helped him at least relieve the pain for a little while. It's a very dangerous landscape that you're in, and now you have reason to believe that Soviets at least have been moving up and down these roads. That's why it may seem alarming. When you are coming around a curve of the road, a slight bend in the road as the woods sort of creep right up. The woods and trees are right up to the road line. So there isn't a whole lot of vision on either side. And you come around this curve and suddenly, without warning, just down the road a short ways, maybe 50 meters or so, 50, 60 meters or so, you see a truck, a military truck, parked on the side of the road with its hood up. And in an instant, you just see this. You come around, hood up, a sort of steam coming out from within the engine parts of this big truck, and a man standing out in front of it. What do you do? You just come around a corner and you just suddenly see this. I'm asking Sophia. Sophia, you're in the driver's seat. What do you do?
You said it's a military truck?
It appears that way. This is happening in an instant. It's a big truck. Big truck.
Any insignia to show whether it's Soviet or Polish or NATO?
I would say no this quickly. It is painted a sort of greenish color, which leads you to believe that it may be military, but you see no insignia in the first moment as this person who is not in military garb, is standing in front of the grill of this truck with this big hood open and steam is coming out of it. Appears to be broken down.
Gun it past.
Okay. As soon as you start to like gun, this person hearing your car turns and starts waving their hands and comes into the road in front of your car. And they, it's like a civilian. It's a civilian, like in garb.
Donna will say,
garb.
Break.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay.
It steps out in front and just starts waving, like shaking. You see no weapon on them. Just like waving their hands.
Okay. Yeah. If Hannah says break, then Zofia will be like, ugh. And then from gunning the gas pedal to the metal, she'll slam it in brake, slam the brakes and try and swerve around.
Dade and Lime are just sliding around like,
the flatbed.
Like pool balls in the flatbed.
Okay. Apologies. You're not stopping your car?
Yeah, I am going to stop.
You are stopping the car. Okay, because you said swerving around. I was just a little confused.
I mean, I don't know if I had enough from gunning it, if I had enough, you know,
It's close.
Runway.
It's close. But yeah, you screech to a halt, and this guy is just like shaking. Now, let's picture this appropriately. We've got Zofia in the driver's seat, Hannah in the passenger seat, and Dade and Lime are in the flatbed of the truck, right? Just kind of like holding on. And we've been doing some foundry work with building vehicles in foundry. And so we've got like a vehicle character sheet for the pickup truck, and it's got all. So now we can see, you know, the kind of gear that's in this truck. It's got its own cargo tab. So we've got basic tools, weapon tools, your food rations, water rations, electronic parts, you know, all this stuff starts boom, 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 like sliding around in the back of the truck on this quick stop. And this guy's just like stops it shaking and your car stops. If anybody wants to act or do anything, just let me know. But if Lime and Dade don't do anything else, this person comes like kind of around the side to the driver's door in Polish saying, please, I am unarmed. Please, I am unarmed.
I'm going to point my gun at him, which I kind of had on my lap. And then I would like to kind of scan all around us to look for evidence of some sort of ambush or trap.
Yeah,
that's what Zofia was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do a group recon roll. Zofia would be the highest. And you're modified by your teammates. So your roll comes at a +3. And I believe you already have a really high recon. So this should probably be D12, D12, I'm guessing, D12, at this point.
Yeah. What do you mean modified or D12? I have a D12 and a D10.
Yeah,
because your roll is +3, so because of all your teammates helping, so modify it to +3, and it'll change that to 2d12s.
Oh, dang!
And it's a failure.
Push it.
I think we should push.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's push. Yeah,
okay, push it.
Oh, three successes.
Three successes.
Yes.
There we go.
Whew, that was close.
Three successes. Okay. You don't see any signs of an ambush in like on either side of the road. Like, look, you know, panic, like not panicky, but like nervously kind of like peeking through the trees and stuff like that. You don't see any signs of an ambush. This guy comes to the side of the car. You know what I will say with the recon roll? You do see a person in the passenger side of the truck, sitting in the truck. Appears to be a man. Sitting in the passenger side of the truck. That's the only thing that you see or notice. This civilian comes down and he says in Polish, we've broken a hose. Is there any chance that you have an extra part? Anything that could help us get the truck underway?
I'm counting
two. I gotta say, now that you're this close in your successful recon, there is another detail. He's saying this. He's saying all this. You see the person in the passenger seat. You don't see any signs of an ambush. But I will say, Hannah, you see now at the angle that you're at from the side of the truck, you can see that this is a Soviet military truck.
Right. I'm going to say I'm counting two, and that's a Soviet truck. And then I'm going to point my gun at the guy again and go, could you step away from our truck, please?
Please, don't leave us alone out here, please. Please, we just need to... do you have any parts that we could use or any ability to take a look at the truck and maybe get us underway? We feel very exposed out here.
And he's slowly stepping away, but he's keeping himself, like, in front of your car, basically, because he doesn't want you to just drive off. That's what it looks like. So he's keeping kind of, like, stepping away from the driver's window, but keeping kind of half a leg in front of your car.
And the guy in the passenger seat also looks civilian, from what I can tell.
He's in a little bit of a shade, yeah. But from what you can tell.
Okay. I look to Zofia.
Between clenched teeth.
We could trade. We have rations. Perhaps we could trade food.
I'm going to say in English to the back of our truck, or to the rest of our truck.
I have two vehicle parts. I could spare one.
Okay.
Are we okay? Okay.
She said that in English, so if he doesn't speak English.
Oh, okay, gotcha, I'm sorry.
I think if I hear that, I'll like reach into the bed and pick up the
there's
part.
Literally like there's like a hose. We could say
I'll
a
pick
hose.
Up the corresponding.
He said he had a busted hose.
Yeah.
As Dade hands it over, she'll say in Polish, I'm a mechanic. I can take a look.
You are? Incredible. Incredible.
And he looks back at the truck and says, Mechanic. And like
I'm gonna
makes
get
like
out
kind
of
a hand symbol.
I'm going to get out of our truck. And yeah, I'm going to continue having my gun trained on the guy that came around the side of our car and go, tell your friend to get out of the car and stand over there with you.
And he looks at you like very nervously and looks back at you, Zofia, and he says, please, I am an armed.
Yeah, no one's
please
going to hurt
fix,
you if you don't do anything aggressive.
Truck.
No one's going to hurt you if you don't do anything aggressive. Please, tell your friend to get out. You stand over there, and my friend will look at your truck.
He starts sweating. Starts backing away slowly. Walks over to the driver's side of the truck. And starts, like, motioning to this passenger. To like pointing to like get out of the car, and there's some exchange
out.
That you see happening here.
I'm gonna hop out of the flatbed with my six out, my pistol drawn, and I'm gonna go over to the truck to get a look at this person in the interior. I have my gun trained on the passenger in the truck.
Okay, as you come over with your gun like kind of held up, the passenger. Gets out of the car quickly and hops down and stays behind the open door, kind of like offering some cover, and you cannot see their full body. They appear to be in civilian clothes, but you see the face of a middle-aged man, sort of graying hair, and he's looking sort of through the window of the open door at you, and it looks like he's sort of like kind of staying in cover from your pistol. You know, he's just kind of like staying low and is peering out at you, and he does not appear nervous. His eyes are very leveled and very like kind of smartly watching you is the vibe that you get as a read on this guy, whereas the other guy is very shaky. He gets out, and then the guy turns, the first civilian you were talking to turns around now that the passenger got out of the car, and is, please look at the, I think it's the hose. And he's looking at the guy
will.
And looking at you.
Yeah, we will. Both of you go stand over to the side of the road. We're not going to hurt you. Come on.
and I'm going to move around to the other side of the door so I can get a look at him and the interior.
Okay. You start to move around to the other side of the door. As Lime moves around to the other side of the door, coming out from behind the door is this man, and he immediately levels a pistol at you. It was just kind of like holding it behind his hip. He levels a pistol at you, and he starts spouting at you in Russian. Do you speak Russian?
Oh, wow, really?
Do you?
Hold on a second. Do you speak Russian?
I mean, I wish I did. I feel like I should, but I don't. I don't speak Russian.
Does anybody speak Russian?
How do we know?
You hear...
I don't think so. Yeah.
Hear yelling. I'm going to give you another instant. Doesn't pull the trigger. Yelling. And then you start to hear all of this like movement and scrapping and stuff in the back of this truck.
Oh, no.
And then suddenly, boom, multiple feet of boots jump out of the back of this car. And there are a half dozen Soviet soldiers with assault rifles pouring out of the back of the car, and they're all yelling, and they're all coming slowly across the road at you, holding up these rifles, and they're all yelling, yelling in a language that you don't understand, and we're going to pull initiative cards. Okay. Good Let's God. Turn to...
Son of a bitch. Okay. Dozen. All right.
Let's turn to our Foundry Jodsky and do some initiative. Okay, so actually, this is interesting. I got to build this encounter really quick because I didn't know exactly how this would go. So I need you guys to just vamp for me for a second. So for a second. Talk about what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Okay. And
is this meta? Because I just want to tell you guys, my feeling is... Just like ask if any speak Polsky and then try to get them to let us fix the car and go, you know, because they definitely, I think they really are having car trouble.
Yeah.
I really do think they are having car trouble. I think they sent their Polish captive driver. Oh, hey, the supplies that didn't come. Maybe it was this. I don't know. But they're on the side of the road going north. I actually don't know what side of the road they're on.
They're going south.
These could be the supplies that that never showed up to Tomasov Lubowski. So
we're not going to win a firefight position here. I think it's just like, can we de-escalate, give them what they want, and
that's all we can do.
Nothing happened.
Okay.
That's certainly Dade's mindset is like, can we? Like, cool off. Of course, he doesn't speak either language.
What an intense moment here. Okay. And you guys, I have all the, I'm trying to like picture exactly where you guys are, but I think I've got this close to right here. It is interesting because you're kind of a little bit split up here. And... All right, we're gonna get this all figured out.
Okay.
Okay, and then Sophia back here. You guys still have like cover from the last combat. I gotta get rid of that stuff, but we'll figure all that out. Okay. There is obviously a lot of combatants here, but what I'm gonna do is just pull for you guys and the enemy as like a group. Okay. Mm. And we'll go from there. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Initiative. Oh my God! All right. So I drew all of them as last. They drew card 10. Which is pretty wild situation and has its own sort of repercussions. But, you know what? Actually, I'm going to do them in two groups. And there's a reason for that. So we'll figure this out in a second. So I'm going to do it as two groups, and I'm missing two of you. So yeah, Zofia.
Remind me how to roll initiative.
I'm going to take care of it for you in a second. And Dade, you don't have a rolled initiative, right? Yeah, you have a rolled initiative. Okay, great. So we roll initiative for everybody, and I will say in that my guy, so there's one guy, an officer, who rolled a two, right? This is a guy with a pistol.
The passenger.
He brings it up. His right. action is pulling up a pistol, pointing it at Lime, and yelling. And our encounter begins, and we go to Zofia. You actually Ooh. Drew the three card, so you're the next to act. What do you do?
Dade is still in the back of my truck.
That's right.
Dade, you never exited the truck.
I never exited.
Right?
I was in the cab. I think.
Are
I
you
probably,
on your feet?
I
you
think
standing.
No, in my head, though not spoken. I think when Lime hopped out to move around the car, I've got my gun out as well, almost like crouching in the back of the in the bed of the truck, using the sort of wall of the truck as cover to some extent, just following him around the truck, and then still keeping my eyes like darting around. Trying to figure out if this is an ambush of some kind.
Okay. So I've got, I've now got you on a map. I've mm-hmm. put a bunch of the soldiers on the map. You can see there's a civilian in front of the car. There's an officer. Maybe you don't know he's an officer, but he's holding a pistol and he's dressed as a civilian. This is the older guy. And mm-hmm. he's in the same hex with Lime. They've got two guns pointed at each other. Point blank range!
Whoa.
Okay. What are we thinking? Oh, sorry.
Wow.
It's Zofia's turn. Zofia's
turn. Yeah. I would want to gun it around the truck and get past them, at least, whether I left or not. But there are a bunch of soldiers now blocking the entire road. So, golly. what I think she would do is reach for her new AK-47 that she got in our last encounter, that I'm sure I've stored maybe like in the back of the cab, because I can't wear it while I'm driving. I'm probably wearing my pistol, but...
Are you sitting in the driver's seat behind the wheel?
Yeah.
Buckled in? Or not buckled, whatever you want. But the question is, what do you mean? What do you mean in the cab? What does that mean?
Like in the back, like behind the seats, there's usually
behind
like a little
seats.
Bit
okay.
of...
So you're going to reach back subtly or like aggressively?
Oh!
Okay.
Jared?
Okay, you're right.
Everybody shut up.
Everyone,
you're right.
Chill out.
I'm going to put the truck in park. One...
It's fine.
Fast action, putting the truck in park.
Okay.
Slow action, subtly. I won't go for my AK. I'll unholster my...
This is so amazing. You can just picture it, can't you? They all come out. Zofia keeping her eyes straight, kind of like leveled ahead. But our camera turns down to her hip as she unclasps...
She keeps it in a police harness on her chest.
So she reaches in, and we see her pulling out a pistol just below the eye line of the dashboard. Okay.
Yeah.
Next is Hannah. Hannah is next to act.
Okay. Hannah is going to, you know, she has her PMK on a strap, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she's going to let it go, put her hands up, and go, Polsky, hey, we'll fix your truck. Come on. Hey, we'll fix your truck.
Okay.
And she's going to pull out her violin. And she's going to play the most beautiful music. No, she can't do that. But she that's what she's saying. She's because she's pretty sure. What do we have here? We're looking at six soldiers that came out of the back, an officer and a civilian guy that came out of the cab. I don't think we can win this firefight.
So she drops her weapon, puts her hands up,
and says,
and is yelling in Polish, we will fix your truck.
She doesn't know Russian, so she's saying, we'll fix the truck. Come on. Hey, Fair trade.
Okay. Dade, you actually can act now if there's something you want to do. You kind of described that you were scanning, looking for anything else. Again, you don't see anything else in the trees or woods behind you, any threats behind you or to the side. Great. Everything seems to be out in front of you, but all of these guys have come out and they're pointing AKs at Hannah and Lime.
Okay. I think...
and Sophia, kind of, at the car, too.
Much like Hannah, Dade is in de-escalate. Is his primary concern at this moment, seeing all these guns come out. He's having a hard time, of course, following exactly what's going on because there's a lot of languages getting tossed around that he does not understand. So I think he might just keep his gun on strapped up in that crouch position in the bed and just throw one hand up with just like a, whoa, easy, easy. Like kind of... echoing on his sentiment.
I can picture it. He puts the gun down to the side, still holding the handle, maybe finger on the trigger, but he puts his other hand up. Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
It's not doing anything stupid.
Back.
Come on. Whoa.
Oh, my God. I mean, if this shit went down, at least you and Sophia would probably live. Just drive off.
And Sophia knows that. It's always in the back of her mind. She's a survivor. She's a street kid. So there is one thought that's like, well, I could just gun it, probably hit four or five of these guys, take some major damage to the chassis and probably some gunfire, but we'd probably make it. But she's not going to.
But you could drive through these dudes. You could. That would be awesome.
Just think it.
I mean, not major awesome Lime. In terms of life.
Major Lime drew the 9 card out of 10, but he still drew ahead of these other soldiers. He is in the same hex and point blank with a Soviet soldier dressed as a civilian who's got a pistol pointed at him.
So I would make the case. I know I don't have the specialty like to speak any other language, but I mean, he's been in intelligence for like 10 years. He's been serving in this theater for at least 3 years. I would suggest that he speaks at least a few Russian words and phrases.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I think as well as well.
Jot it down on your sheet.
That's something that he would have made a priority is learning basic. Mm-hmm.
Like anybody, you know, a grunt. Like, look, it's like it's in Vietnam. It's just like a grunt serving in Vietnam knows. But after 3 years, would know, you know, at least enough to
basic.
Get laid.
Yeah.
So. So he is going to say "Uspotskoytsya," like calm down, "Uspotskoytsya," and he is going to take an action to aim right at the head of this guy. It's like I think he would probably guess that this guy in civilian clothes, speaking Russian. Is an officer, and so he is going to almost sort of hold him hostage. This is a mutually assured destruction. He's going to hold his pistol on this guy until everybody else calms down. That's his plan.
Okay, well, I'm going to interpret that as a fast action to aim and a slow action to persuade. So why don't you give me a slow slow roll? Make it a quick one. Give me a persuade roll.
Okay.
And you're yelling in Russian, calm down. And I will say, if you can hear pieces of Russian, I think what you hear from him is something along the lines of lower your weapon, something like that.
Okay.
You know, at you.
Okay.
He's saying something about your weapon. All right, give me that persuade.
Yes.
Okay, I got a success.
All right. Okay. Very interesting. It was his turn at the start. That character, he had already used his action, and now we come to the rest of them. These six soldiers are all shouting in Russian, and you, Lime, hear a mixture of something about weapons, put your weapons down, like that kind of thing. And then you hear fragments of like just fix the car, and you hear another person like within that mix saying calm down, Right, you're hearing all these words mixed together. Weapons, lower your weapons, calm down. Like, it's all kind of like going back and forth in there too. But it's aggressive and loud. And if you don't speak Russian, it sounds very, very intense. Okay, the whole sort of situation. And that's the end of round one. Nobody fires. And we come to the top of round two. And this guy who's got his pistol pointed at you does not lower his weapon, but he turns his head ever so slightly and he starts spouting these loud phrases in Russian sort of to the back. And you see a couple of the soldiers kind of like looking at each other and starting to like lower their weapons. And he's yelling aggressively and they're starting to lower their weapons. There's one guy in the back and he's just got sweat coming down his face and crazy eyes, like the guy in Tombstone in the OK Corral. You remember that scene where he's just like, there's one of the guys is like, has this look like he doesn't get it. He doesn't get what's happening. And they're like, oh no. Right. So there's like this slight vibe that like one guy is not listening to the order as kind of everybody else is lowering. But that's the end of their turn. And it's Zofia. It's your turn.
Do I see that? Do I see him?
I'd say it's you that see. You have a great recon. You're looking through the thing. You see a couple of them are looking at each other unsure, and they're watching. And as one lowers their rifle, the other one lowers their rifle, looking back and forth. But there's one guy, and he's on the sight, aiming down sight at Hana. And he's just breathing heavily, and he's young guy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. She's going to take her hand off her holster, put both of her hands up, and say in Polish, and say as slowly in Polish as she can, like, I'll fix the truck. I'll fix it. Mechanic.
And immediately just yelling, the civilian who has had his hands up and like putting his hands by his head and looking around at all of you is yelling back, and he's yelling in these fragments of Russian, yelling, fix the truck. She'll fix the truck.
Mechanic. I think I see mechanic.
Maybe he doesn't know the word for mechanic, but he's yelling, fix the truck back to the rest of the Russians. And it's just, you know, seems to be maybe de-escalating, but they might have a wild card here. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to find out if we can all lower our weapons or if we've got a really nasty firefight on our hands. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm scared.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good. Because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Wait. Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on the case.
Ever look at someone at the top and wonder, do they even remember where they started? What did it take to get there? I do, on every episode. I'm Evelyn, and on my podcast, Reppin', the people the world thinks it knows gets to say who they actually are. The grit, the doubt, the moments nobody sees. And everything they learned getting there, it's yours for the taking. Reppin'. Find us wherever you listen. Go get it now.
Reality TV is messy, pop culture is louder than ever,
and the internet
completely unhinged.
Welcome to Roxanne
and Chantel,
the podcast where cousins Roxanne and Chantel break down reality TV, celebrity drama, and the stories everyone's texting about.
We recap the shows,
spill the headlines,
and sit down with the stars themselves.
No filter,
no boring takes,
just the tea.
New episodes every week.
If it's trending,
we're talking about it.
This is Roxanne
and Chantel.
Let's get into it.
Hey, just a friendly reminder, if you're enjoying the show, if you're enjoying our hangs here on the Glass Cannon Network, there's tons more at glasscannonnetwork.com. Don't forget, tons of shows, tons of different groups of us in all different combinations playing all different games. I just like look around this call and I could think of like so many different combos of Mary Lou and I playing a game together. Jared runs games for us. Skid runs a bunch of different games. Ross and I playing a Call of Cthulhu game. It's lots of fun different combos. So remember, check out glasscannonnetwork.com and jointhenage.com to get access to all of our exclusive stuff. All right, let's go back into the scene, into the moment, into the tension. Zofia has just finished her turn by saying, I will fix the truck. I will fix the truck in Polish. And it seems that the civilian you first spoke to is yelling in broken Russian at these soldiers saying, she'll fix the truck. She'll fix the goddamn truck. And we continue in our initiative with Hannah, who was the first one to lower her weapon and put up her hands. Very bold move in this situation. Well, but tactically smart, seeing how outnumbered she was.
Yes, tactically smart, but she does hate these guys, so it was not easy. She is going to see that one soldier who's sweating and having trouble like calming down, and she's going to try to look him in the eyes and go, no one's going to die today.
Give me a persuade roll. I like that. Give yourself a plus one. You don't have a weapon in your hand.
Oh, I love the with your plus voice. One. I love the plus one because I kind of need it. but I will say at some point I did give myself, I think in one of my, you know, my advancements, I gave myself a D in persuasion.
Nice. Oh, you did. So you've I got did. A D. All right. That automatically becomes a D8 now.
Yeah, that was recent.
Yeah. Or maybe your other score gets higher.
You're DD, right? Are you DD or CD?
I'm DD.
Oh, because you have very low empathy. So it'd be D8, D6? Okay.
Yeah, but now it'll be D8, D6. All right.
Let's see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Oh. Push it. Push it.
Push it.
I'll push it.
Push it.
Da, da, you can push da, every da. Role in Twilight 2000.
Almost every role.
There are
some you don't, but any active skill role you can push, yes.
And you probably should under most circumstances.
And I still get the plus one, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I mean, there is a button you can click to just push the role.
Oh, yeah, wait, if you really? Go to the chat.
Go to the chat and just push the role. Or push. Okay. Push the Roll is the Ross Bryant podcast.
I was just going to say the name of Ross Bryant podcast.
I got my titles mixed up.
I'm sorry. I don't see a chat with what it says rolled. I don't see that. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay. Just in the upper right, you see two quote boxes.
Ah, there it is. Okay.
Click that.
There it is. I got it.
You're also rolling as Zofia's truck.
Yes.
You're not clicking on your character sheet?
What's happening? Yeah, I'm clicking on my character sheet for sure.
Okay. Interesting.
Very, very, very frustrating. Weird. But I still have a D8, D6. I'm going to push it.
The truck is making a strong case, but...
Yeah.
The truck is really... I mean, in a way it is. It's another vehicle that has parts that could be used. Yeah. Right? So the fact that it's there, though, maybe they just... kill you and take the truck, right?
Yeah. This is like Cars 2 with the Polish overdub.
Okay. Well, look, at least I failed again. At least I failed again and took another point of stress.
Okay. No, you don't take a point of stress. You're okay. In fact, I do want to give you more stress at certain times outside of just the rules. Like, I can give you stress in a stressful situation. So go ahead and take a point of stress right now. You have guns pointed at you and you've lowered your hands, Hannah. So take a point of stress. But typically, you take it mechanically when you roll a one on one of those die. When you push. Okay. That's when you take the stress. It's okay, though. We'll see if it wasn't a rolled success, but it's not necessarily a failure right now. Nobody is shooting yet. Mm-hmm. JF Dade, we return to PFC Dade in the back of the truck. You've got a hand up, though your other hand is on a trigger.
I think now that you've described this tableau so beautifully with the Russian soldiers beginning to lower their weapons, being shouted at by their superior officer. We're sort of relaxing, but we've got the our two officers now facing off with their weapons. I think I might be dialed in on this wild card.
Okay.
Who I think I could see from over the hood of the truck. And I may even just try to, like, get his attention. Or, like, get the attention of the people nearby. Just like, hey!
Look at his eyes are darting. He was looking at Hannah, who just spoke to him. And then he snaps his head up at you. And the front of his weapon is waving a little bit in the air, but it's pointing toward you now, Dade.
Look, and almost like, I mean, of course, I know that I won't be understood, but like, look at your boy now, okay? Look at your boy. Like, and bring my hand down, like, in a gesture, like, lower it.
Okay. I like it. So you yell for his attention and then show him you're not pointing your weapon. Lower your weapon.
Yeah.
Okay. Major Lime.
Okay. So I'm going to keep... my plan is to keep my gun trained on this officer until everyone else... calms down.
I'm with you.
So he hears like what's happening, that apparently this one of the people who got out of the truck is having a problem with this. So
Don't see him. That's a good point. He's on the other side of this big truck. Oh my gosh!
I hear people yelling at him. So he's going to again. He's going to like continue to aim at this officer's head, and. He's going to say, "Uspotskaya soldats," like calm down, soldier, this guy that he can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Sorry, I meant to do this before, but I have a picture of the actual truck, like a real life picture.
Oh.
So this is what it looks like.
Oh,
so
it's
a, cool. It's a big truck.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yes,
it's called a Gaz 66 truck. A Soviet military truck that was in massive usage, I believe, from about the 60s all the way through the 90s. A very successful truck, as far as truck success goes.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Good job, let's all tip our caps to the...
All right, guys.
Truck
top five favorite military trucks. Go.
Oh, gotta be the Gaz 5.
Gotta give it up to the Gaz.
Gotta be the Gaz.
Yeah.
That's all together. Gotta give it up to the Gaz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very great, successful.
Great maneuver. And we come to the end. Oh, amazing. It was their turn one more time. I just want to acknowledge this wild card, right? This person who perhaps doesn't trust anybody in NATO and is afraid that they're going to die today, right? And maybe may act irrationally. And so you don't have to roll for NPCs all the time. You want to roll for NPC. I was reading about this. You want to roll for NPCs when they are directly affecting PCs, but sort of inter NPC or an NPC within their own mind, you don't necessarily have to roll. However, there are times as a referee when I don't have the next part of the story decided, right? And I kind of got to figure out, I got to watch it unfold too and see what this kind of... All I did in terms of design was added a wild card. That's all I did. I didn't decide what he was going to do. So I just rolled and I rolled and I was going to roll. If he rolls a success, he's going to keep pushing it and we're going to see kind of what happens here. But not only did I roll a fail, but I rolled a stress die. And so I rolled a one. And so I feel like I'm not going to interpret that stress as being pull the trigger. I'm going to interpret that as like fear of his officer, fear of all of his colleagues around him, sort of like lowering their weapons and him getting into real trouble. Right now, there's no gun pointed at him.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have made that clear. So he's also going to lower his weapon and we will defuse the situation, at least in terms of combat, because the next thing that'll happen is slowly the officer never breaks eye contact with you, Lime. He's looking dead in the eye, and you can see this guy has no fear of dying. But he is going to
slowly lower his pistol, place it into his holster, and just raise a hand and just say in Russian, "We trade. We trade."
Okay. And I'm going to follow suit. I'm going to lower my pistol, holster it. And this is da. And it's going to like back up, keeping my eyes like locked on his.
Okay. The soldiers lower their, and he starts barking orders to the back, and a couple of soldiers start moving. We're going to move off the map. We're going to move off the battle map here because I don't want to be distracted with that. I want to focus on the images of the scene. The officer starts ordering them to go back, you know, toward the back of the truck. And now a little bit of time is going to pass. I don't want to play this out moment by moment, but you are willing to attempt to fix the truck, right, Zofia?
Yes.
Okay. The soldiers, for the most part, go, like, stay at the back of the truck. They don't all get in the truck. They kind of mill around a bit. They light up some cigarettes, and they're kind of smoking off the side of the road, off the back of the truck. And you are working on the car. We're going to come to you in a second for a tech roll, okay? You're working on the front of the car. And what are the rest of you doing in as this initial time is passing? Are you talking to each other? Are you speaking to anyone? Are you holding your weapons? Like, give me every detail that you can as how you imagine your character in the scene. I'll start with Dade.
I think I'm taking my cues off of the crowd. If the Russians are letting their weapons hang slack and untouched, then Dade will do the same and probably remain in the truck, just keeping an eye on everyone, just seeing that the charged atmosphere remains relatively placid, and also checking in all the time with Lime and taking a read off of him. But I think always is Lime is really struck with the irony of just a cup, like he killed a Pole not too long ago because he had to, and he has.
Well, I actually did. I was actually going to kill them.
Yeah, disabled a Pole, like
you disabled. Yeah,
and
it's funny. Dade does feel responsible even though he didn't pull the trigger. Yeah. It was Lime, but it's definitely like.
No, he's got an assist.
Yeah,
he sure set did, it up.
Yeah. It was an alley-oop.
It was an alley-oop.
An alley-oop shot, an alley-oop. For sure. And now there's all these like true enemies out here, and we're trying to negotiate our way through this with words and bartering. And he's just like, why did it play out like that? If only we could have spoken for a moment, like in. And he's just like letting that sort of like revolve in his head.
Okay. What about Lime?
Lime, I think one of the first things he's going to do is make his way back to the truck, like keeping his eyes on this officer. And he's going to, I think of the Dragunov, the sniper rifle is lying in the flatbed. He's going to cover it up with a blanket or something. And he's just gonna keep his eye on the situation. He sees that Dade is freaking out a little bit, and he's gonna just try to calm him down a little bit at some point. Just like, don't let the Russians see sweat, Dade.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'll kind of daub his brow. Yeah. I mean, if they stay cool, then we'll stay cool.
Yes. We'll all stay cool, shall we?
Yeah.
What about Hannah?
Hannah wants to, if possible, act like she's assisting with the repairs and be up, kind of protecting her buddy, Sophia. and, you know, like right beside Zofia. So while Zofia's working, she's protected. And I think Hana's also thinking, is there any way once these guys get back in, could I throw a grenade in the back? Or, but I do think Hana's not a fool. So she would need an excellent opportunity.
Okay. I like it. You're up in the front helping with the repair.
Yeah, maybe like Zofia will be like the classic dad move, quarter inch, you know, pliers. You're the like the handerman, as we called it in my family.
Handerman. That's
you're my
great.
Handerman. Zofia, when she's got out of the truck, she took a second to, as she's going to the back of the cab, she's pulling up her coveralls, the coveralls that she normally keeps tied around her waist. She pulls it up and zips it over her gun, keeping her gun on her, and gets her tools out, her vehicle tools from the bed of the truck. And maybe she'll, you know, mutter to Dade,
"Don't worry, I will fix it."
And as I'm working on the truck, on their gas or whatever it is, I am going to fix it. I do want to donate one of our vehicle parts to it. And I'm also looking for a way to sabotage the vehicle so that in several miles, maybe there's a slow leak of coolant, or maybe there's a hole in the gas tank. Something that will degrade over time, but that will not... Like, I want to fix the car, fix the problem, and add a new one that will fuck them up in, like, a few months.
Brake line.
Sure, the brake line.
Okay, as you're working on this, are you telling anybody this, or is this just
in
your head?
Absolutely not.
Okay. As the guys are in the back on the street, kind of sharing a cigarette, a couple of them, two of them kind of lean out, and one of them not yells, but sort of raises his voice across in Russian toward you, Hana, as you're sort of at the side of the car, and beckons you to the back. It's like you don't understand what he's saying, but he's sort of smiling, seems sort of sincere, and is beckoning you to the back of the truck.
Zofia will say, like, "Get something good in the trade."
Hana will, you know, stand to her full height. She's pretty tall and muscular, and in her most intimidating stride kind of approach.
Okay. You come across to the back, and as you step around to the back of this truck, you see that there are six guys that are standing out there, their weapons slung, a mixture of them smoking cigarettes. One of them is just kind of like sitting on the side of the road, maybe like... working a knife over some wood or something like that. And you get to the back and they pull up this tent flap, and you see that there is not only a mixture of supplies back there, including general parts and food and water rations, but there's also two more soldiers sitting in the back of the car, one of which is leaned up like against the wall on one of these benches, leaned up against the like canvas wrap that's over the car, and is pale and sweating and clearly sick, and is like coughing. And you see a civilian woman and two children in the back of the car.
Ooh. Okay.
Wow. And the guy just says, he's speaking to you in Russian, and he's pointing at the food, water, and general parts. And we can work out, you know, how that's going to shake out depending on, you know, what you're looking for most.
I know that we don't have a lot of food rations. So
yeah, I think food would be your priority.
I think that I would kind of act like I'm not really acknowledging or you know, maybe, I don't even let on that I'm clocking the civilians and the children. And I gesture toward the food and, you know, make sure it's okay that that can be the trade. And wait for them to hand
we
it to
also me. Have... We also have no general parts or weapon parts.
Well, I don't know what they're going to give me. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But if those are two kinds of parts that we don't have.
It'll work out to one general part for the vehicle part. Or it'll work out to four food rations for the vehicle part.
I think four food rations.
I just rolled a
D6.
I rolled a four.
I think the food rations.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I'll take those food rations. And I'll come around to the front of the truck, and I will tell Sophia that I saw a sick man and some civilians and children in the back. And then I will take the food rations to the back of our pickup, and as I'm putting them in, I will share that with Dade. And it seemed like Lime was close enough to talk to us as well. So I'm going to share that with them as
Before you go back and tell them, while I'm fixing the truck, when you tell me, I'll say... Don't tell the American about the sick man. He will want to help them. They are Soviet.
Yes. So gross. I don't tell Dade about the sick man. I just say that there are civilians in the back.
And, when you say that, prisoners?
I don't know. Probably.
I'll say that you didn't see anybody like bound or anything like that, and the children seemed at first glance quiet, but
fearful
fearful or okay. Beat up or cut up or bleeding or you know what I mean, like none of that. They seem to be just normally traveling, basically.
And the sick person was a soldier, not a civilian.
It was a soldier. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you said that. Nah, Sophia would be like, do not tell Dade. She clocked him as like bleeding heart softy. Mm-mm.
Can I talk to the Soviets and just say Polsky? Polsky?
Well, the like civilian's there.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
There's a Polish civilian that started the talking. Yeah, you can talk to him. Yeah.
Is that your family in the back?
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm August.
He puts out a hand. What is your name?
Hannah doesn't take his hand. She just says, Hannah.
And he looks at his hand, looks at you, and puts it back down.
Do they speak Polish?
No. The officer, some. But mostly, no.
Am I near this... officer?
No. I mean, this can be out of earshot if that's your intention.
That's the intention. What is happening?
They have left from Lublin and they are paying us to take them to Ukraine. They have promised us food and water and weapons when we get them there.
And he looks around and says really low under his breath,
they're deserting. They're leaving Poland.
I nod and I go, So you feel safe?
Yes, the officer has been very kind. They just want to leave.
I nod, and then I'm going to go back and relay this to Lime and Dade, and this time... No, I'm still not going to tell him about the sick guy.
Oh, man!
Save the Russians.
It makes perfect sense.
Makes sense.
Do you tell Zofia?
Yeah, I can tell Zofia as well.
She's gonna, like, you see her, she's normally cool as a cucumber. You see her pause for a second as she's working. Zerzi?
Yeah.
You believe them?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Because that changes her plan. If they're leaving.
Right. It yeah. might.
I like to think that she just cut the brake line and she's like, ah, damn it.
Ah. Well, too bad for those kids. All right, we're out of here.
If they're leaving, if they're deserting, then she's not going to sabotage the vehicle.
Okay. All right, it is time. Give me the tech roll. You get a plus one bonus for your vehicle tools. And other than that, I don't think you get any other bonuses. Your vehicle part is expended as part of doing this. It's not a bonus. But your vehicle tools do give you the bonus, at least the way that I'm ruling it now. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Okay, I got a plus one. I'm rolling a D12 and a D10.
Oh, come on. And you can push it.
Yeah.
My tech is really high, so this should...
Ooh. One success.
Ooh. Oh, one man. Success. And that's with a one on one of the D12s, which you would not be able to push and would give you stress if it didn't come through. But you got a success on the other die. And we see Zofia telling the civilian, stepping back. I could just picture this, stepping back, telling him, start it. You know, and he gets in. It starts running. You're monitoring. No steam. Looks like the hose is holding. Mm-hmm. And it seems you have fixed the car. Boom. Does anything else happen? The Russians are piling back into the car. The officer is going to look across at Lime and just kind of like give you a nod, like a slow nod, as he's getting back into the car. Is there any other business or anything else you want to do here before they get in their truck and drive off?
Did I hear that they are deserting?
I told you.
With me?
Okay. I told you.
Then, then as the officer nods at me, I'm going to give him a salute.
Oh, cool. And he'll do the same back. A quick salute. He gets in the truck and boom, 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 boom. It drives off. All of that from a single card.
Awesome.
In a deck of 52.
Wow.
This game is unbelievable. I love this game so much.
Yeah, that was exciting.
I'm glad I didn't throw a grenade into the back.
Yeah. Could have ended up very badly.
Boom. I'm glad I didn't cut their brake lines. Yeah.
Two potentially very bad moral choices.
Yeah. I guess we did everything we could to help them. There was no more we could do.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you continue on?
Yes. And, you know, I was just making sure. Is our intention to try to make a beeline for Bilgarai, or are we going to stop in Zamosht?
Well, Zamosht.
We have been heading for Zamosht. Mm-hmm. Zamosht.
We go through Zamosht to get to Bilgarai. But I'm not sure if we should
stop. Well, that's sort of our only choice unless we're going to swim.
Yeah. You don't have to go into too much detail on this right now. The question is just, are you staying on this road north by northwest to Bilgarai?
Yeah.
At least
when you
for
get
the
to
next
Zamosht,
text.
You'll have more information before you make any decisions.
Okay.
At least to the next text.
Okay. So you're going to stay on the road in the car. Let's move it. Another hex. So go ahead and move it. Mary Lou, we've got our car token.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so now I need you to make sure you modify your pickup truck's fuel. You started out with 96, right? Or was it 95? Did you roll a 95 or 96?
It was 96.
Yeah, I think you rolled a 96. So I have you at 96 liters of gasoline, which is phenomenal.
Huge.
In your truck. Reduce that by 4. That represents 2 hexes of road travel. And on this next stretch of road, you do not encounter anything. It is just open. In fact, there are a couple parts of the road that seem to have experienced some kind of combat at some time or another, and you see broken pieces of road. So maybe there's a very brief scene where we see your car come to a stop at a broken, jagged piece of gravel and asphalt that's broken out of place, and you got to kind of off-road around it for a second. Give me a driving roll.
Okay.
This one not modified by +3 because there is a broken piece of road that you're trying to work around. And when I say piece, I don't mean 8 feet. I mean, like, you know, there's a good couple hundred foot stretch of busted road.
So driving is under agility, which I have a B in. And a couple episodes ago, I leveled up my driving from a zero, from a nothing. That's right. So to a
D. If you're missing out, our bonus content on the on our subscription service is, you know, go to jointhenation.com, is we go through after every session and look at XP, we level things up, and Zofia got a point in driving. All right, got a D in driving. All right, go ahead, give me that roll. Unmodified.
Unmodified.
Oh, natty 10 on the 10.
Natty 10, two successes. She navigates that off-road with no problems at all and does not deal any damage to the vehicle. It's getting late in the day now. I don't remember your speed off the top of my head. Do you remember?
Of the
travel
truck?
Speed is, I think it's 9 hexes by day. So
Yes. You
can move a lot on the road. And so that means that it's just kind of afternoon, basically, when something changes. You're seeing the street signs for Zamost that it is coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
The road that you're on comes to a point where there is, let's say it's, the road is kind of a highway, right? This is a larger road that you're on, and it's representative on the map. This, and remember, you have this tactical map of Poland. You actually have this map. This isn't just a player resource. The characters have this map.
This is the actual map we have.
You found it in the supermarket in Tomaszów Lubelski. So, you on this map know that you're on one of the major thoroughfares of this whole region, which is the, I think they call it like the Lubelski Uplands or something like this. And it's because it's near Lublin, which is the major city of this region of Poland. You know that you're coming close to Zamość, and there is an exit off of the main highway to go into Zamość. We see your truck slowly approaching. You were going at a decent clip, but then you saw something obstructing the roadway. As we get closer, we see your truck pull up slowly and stop. Maybe we just see the wheels and stop. And then our camera rises up, and we see the exit to Zamość that comes off of this highway that has a sign saying Zamość is this way, just off of this exit, has not only a completely burnt out and utterly destroyed tank laying across the road, but hundreds and hundreds of pounds of ballast, busted up cars, and junk blocking off the roadway, and hanging across all of it is a homemade, like bed sheet banner that spray painted on it says "Free Poland." Okay. And we'll pick it up there next time.
Oh,
hell yeah!
Oh shit!
I just want to point out that this is all happening on May 3rd. It's Constitution Day in Poland.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Good point, Ross Bryant.
Wow.
Well done. Well, we pick it up on Constitution Day next week. Tune in.
Gorgeous.
legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
The world is ending. You just don't know it yet, but you feel it deep down in your bones, don't you? Some call it the Great Undoing, as it seeps in at the edges of forgotten places, where crumbling, abandoned ruins slowly fade away. And in their fading, these places wear thin the fabric of reality, their rot creeping outward. It calls to you, and to the others. Edge of the Forgotten is a supernatural horror hybrid podcast, with season one totaling 13 narrated episodes and 10 full cast audio drama episodes. Now running on the Realm Network and all popular podcast platforms, with new episodes every Tuesday through the end of November. Welcome to The Undoing. Welcome to Edge of the Forgotten.